Church, let's pray. Father, we're so thankful for who you are, that you are our good, good Heavenly Father. And thank you, God, for the fact that you love us exactly where we're at right now. But thanks be to you that you love us too much to leave us there. Thank you for calling us to holiness, to obedience, to looking more and more like you, to guiding us, to shaping us, to even breaking us at times, to get us to a point where we look more and more like your son, Jesus. And today, as we open up your word and we talk about the idea of obedience and how that looks in our life and our families, God, would you just continue to convict us, to shape us, to mold us, to encourage us? And God, I'm well aware that my words can't change anyone's life. It's only your word. It's only you speaking. It's only your Holy Spirit. And so, God, I just pray that you would be on this whole service today and continue to work as only you can. In Jesus' precious and holy name we pray. Amen. We are starting a brand new series today talking about family. Not only our families, but as individuals, how we interact as a part of the family of God. And I'm really excited to get into this today. And as I've been preparing for this, I've kind of been reflecting on my family, reflecting on what it means to be a parent. And I was thinking back to that moment when my son first came, the first moment that I held my son over 5 years ago. And it's interesting, before that point in time, all the dads that I talked to would have this one phrase that they would say, "Oh man, it changes everything." And after a while, you're like, okay, get over it. You know, like, I mean, it just seems like you just guys keep saying this over and over and over again. There's no way it changes everything. And then you have your son or your daughter, and you hold them for the first time, and you're like, this changes everything. And even if you don't realize it, it eventually does, right? Eventually, if you're a good parent, it will change everything in your life. You know, they say that when one baby is born into the world, another baby leaves it. Which means that when you have a child, you got to grow up, right? You put aside childish things. You go, once you have a kid, there's things in your life that you might be a little childish in that you're like, oh yeah, I got to start growing up, don't I? Because there's another child who expects me to be the adult. But of course, that first season of life, man, it's so incredibly scary, at least as a dad, you know, because everything can kill this new child, right? This newborn baby, like, they can't hold up their own head. You got to make sure the head doesn't fall or they're going to die. You got to make sure they sleep safely or they can die. You got to make sure you don't drop them or they can die. Like, there's just so many things. It's so incredibly scary. And I remember thinking in that moment, like, this has to be the hardest part. Because, like, everything can kill this little child. This has to be the hardest part of parenting. It has to be all downhill from here. I mean, this has to be the pinnacle, right? Some of you are laughing. Because any of you who've had kids outside of the infant stage, you know, right? It doesn't get easier. It just changes, doesn't it? Now my kids are much less vulnerable when it comes to sleeping or being dropped, thankfully. But now they're vulnerable to other things. Now there's character issues. There's moral issues. There's things we're having to lead and guide, and they're starting to have their own personalities. My son Timothy is, man, so many things we're trying to shape and mold in him. In some ways, man, we're still trying to work on some stuff. In other ways, I'm seeing so many cool moral things. Like, I'm seeing his character come out in so many ways. He's becoming a great son, a great big brother. It's awesome. My daughter, man, she's become a teenager now. I don't know what happened. The terrible twos were nothing, but all of a sudden she's like, man, we got some stuff to work on with her. I have all these things we're trying to shape and mold. And then, of course, you look around the culture and you start to realize that there's a lot of things that are going against the morals and the values that I'm trying to teach my kids. And as my kids go out into the world and interact with the world around me, there's a lot of things that are going against everything that we want to teach and have our kids to value. The reality is, as I'm raising kids, as my wife and I are raising kids, I'm realizing our values matter in our family. In fact, values are a really, really big deal. That's why we're doing this series called Family Values, because our values matter. Now, your values, what is that? A value is that core thing in your life that dictates everything else around it. It is the thing at your center. It is the thing that matters more than anything else. And so the reality is values aren't just a thing that are up on the wall. Maybe you've been in an organization where there's been values on the wall that don't actually matter in real life. But values are those things that actually matter in your life. It's the core thing. It's the center of who you are. It's the thing you actually live out. You know, in this season right now, we're in an election cycle. And of course, you get those wonderful things. Every time you turn something on, you get a wonderful political ad with so many nice things to say about a certain individual, whoever that is. And they come and they bring all these issues forward. And it's interesting, over the years, as I've watched what politicians talk about, I think it's an interesting gauge of what matters to people. And sometimes as you watch, there's some big issues that get talked about, but there's some issues that, like, compared to others, like if you just watch political ads over the last probably 8 to 16 years, probably the thing that must matter the most to the American people is gas prices, like more than anything. Because every year it's what we talk about, right? And it's interesting. You can tell a lot in that season of, like, what matters the most to us based on what gets talked about, right? What's the selling point of a politician? Because that's what really matters to people. In the same way in our life, values are those things that actually matter. Values are those things that actually change us. And the reality is every single family has values. Some value total and complete honesty. Maybe you had one of those families. Like, they may not say it, but the way the family runs, they value honesty above everything else. So they're the ones that if you come home with the freshman 15, they're going to be brutally honest because they value honesty. Then maybe you have a family like one side of my family that values being nice above everything else. So if it's unpleasant, we're not going to talk about it. Like, we're just not going to say anything. Maybe we'll make a comment behind their back, but we're not going to say anything to them, right? In the same way in our life, every family has a value, right? They value being thankful. They value maybe being on time, being nice. They value loyalty. There's a value in each and every family. The reality is, I hope that as fully devoted followers of Jesus, our goal and our mission in our families is to have being a follower of Jesus be at the center of who we are as a family. But what I have found is, as I said before, we are not in a culture that's conducive to being a follower of Jesus or having a family that follows Jesus well. The culture is not neutral. We will never drift towards holiness. We will never accidentally look more and more like Jesus. It is an intentional and incredible effort, and it takes effort on our parts. In Joshua 24, there's a moment where, as the Israelites are coming into the promised land, Joshua, the new leader who's taken over for Moses, has a moment where he talks to the people. He says, listen, you're coming into a new land, and there are so many different influences and view systems and other gods that are in this area, and none of them are neutral. And so he sort of draws a line and says, listen, you got to make a choice. He says in verse 15, he says to him, if serving the Lord seems undesirable to you, then choose for yourselves this day whom you will serve, whether the gods your ancestors served beyond the Euphrates or the gods of the Amorites. Do you want to serve the things that you used to serve that only got you so far? Do you want to serve what the rest of culture is doing and what they say to value and worship? Or, he says, but as for me and my household, we will serve the Lord. It's a key moment here. He says before they go in, you have to decide for yourself and your family, whom is it that we're going to serve? And we have to make that choice as well. For us, ourselves as individuals, but for those of us who lead families, who is it that we're going to serve? Will we serve the things that we've done in our past? Will we serve what culture tells us to worship? Or are we going to worship God? It's a choice that we have to make. And as we do that, our value system in our family matters. the values and the core things that are at the center of our family matters. We can't just pay lip service to it and say, yep, we serve the Lord. There's something that has to be changed at our core and our center of who we are as a family. And so in this series, we're going to be talking about some core values of a family that follows Jesus, but also core values of a follower of Jesus, of a family of believers, of the church. So this is a series that applies to everyone, I hope, not just families. We're going to talk about families as the nuclear family, but we're also going to talk about how we as a body of believers, as a family of families following Jesus, how we interact with these as well. And so today I want to talk about a value that is incredibly important to God. It's something called obedience. No cheers. I didn't know if anyone would just be like, "Woo! We're talking about obedience today." Yes, I was hoping. Right? Most of us don't feel that way, do we? In fact, when that word obedience comes up, you might have some things that come into your mind. Maybe it's about your relationship with God. Maybe there's some things that pop in about, man, yeah, we're talking about obedience. Yeah, I know there's some ways I'm not being obedient. Maybe you think about a parent who's yelling or screaming in a moment. You're going to obey because I told you to. Maybe you think about that police officer who was a jerk and pulled you over even though everybody else was speeding and gave you a ticket. Whatever comes to your mind with obedience, I want us to look at what God's word says about it. And specifically, not only with our relationship with God, but specifically with the relationship of parents to children. It's in Ephesians chapter 6. Paul is writing, and he says this. He's giving the rules and ideas for a godly family. And so here he says, "Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor your father and mother, which is the first commandment with a promise, so that it may go well with you and that you may enjoy long life on the earth. Fathers, do not exasperate your children. Instead, bring them up in the training and the instruction of the Lord." It's interesting. Paul says, "Children, obey your parents, for this is right. For this is the first commandment with a promise." See, what Paul is quoting here is something called the Ten Commandments. In Exodus chapter 20, it says, "Honor your father and mother, so you may live long in the land the Lord your God is giving you." Fact is, this is the first commandment of the Ten Commandments that actually has a promise attached to it. Do this, and this will happen in your life. It's something that's incredibly important to God. Honor your father and mother. Obey your father and mother. And it's really, really weird if you think about it, because if you look at the Ten Commandments, you've got the first three, and they're all about your relationship with God. Like, those are important, right? It's all about have no other gods before me. Don't take my name in vain, and keep the Sabbath. So honor me with your life. Honor me with how you speak about me. And then spend time with me once a week. Have this set time where you recharge, you refresh, and you spend that time worshiping me. Those seem like really good. So it's all about my relationship with God, the first three. Then number four, honor your parents. And then he gets to the less important stuff, like don't kill people or commit adultery or steal. It's really interesting. The first three make sense, but then we have this next one. Why is that so incredibly important? Because the reality is that honoring our parents, and as our children learn to obey and honor their parents, it's a microcosm of eventually the fact that they're going to have to obey their Heavenly Father one day. And if they have good parents, those parents are not just going to be giving them arbitrary rules, but they're going to be giving them things that are from God and from God's word, and eventually they're going to learn what it means to serve God well because they've learned to obey from their parents, and eventually their parents are going to kind of hand them off metaphorically to their Heavenly Father, who's going to lead them and guide them and teach them and instruct them. The fact is, obedience is incredibly important to God. It's a source of blessings. It's an incredible thing. And the reality is, it looks different in all different stages, right? As we get older, it looks a little different when you're no longer in your parents' care. When you're under your parents' care, it means obeying them, listening to them, honoring them, Some people always ask, the question always comes up, what if my parents aren't believers? What if they're doing things that are against God's word? Obviously, God's word is the most important thing. God's voice is the most important. That's the most important thing. That's commandment one, have no other gods before me. I can still honor someone, though. I can honor a position while also saying, no, I'm going to draw a line and follow this. I can do that in a lot of areas of life. As I get older and no longer am under my parents' care, I'm in that phase of my life. Obedience looks a little different. Honoring looks a little different. It's in how I treat them, how I care for them. But today, I want to unpack this a little bit about what obedience actually is and how it looks like in our families and why it's so important. Not necessarily how to obey, but I just want to talk, maybe change our view of obedience a little bit. Because the reality is, obedience in our families is incredibly important because I want my kids to be blessed by God and I want my kids to obey God well. The reality is this, obedience is not just about rules. Obedience is about blessing. Obedience is about blessings, and it's why it's so important in our families. Ephesians 6, honor your father and mother, which is the first commandment with a promise, so that it may go well with you and that you may enjoy long life on the earth. Fact is, the goal of parenting is not just compliance. The goal of parenting is heart and life change. The goal of a parent is not just to get your kids to obey some rules, but to have their hearts changed and shaped so that eventually there's a day where they no longer are being told the rules. They're just following the same things you taught them because they were taught well about why these things matter, and their lives were changed and their hearts were changed. You're not just having to show up in their life and go, listen, are you being nice to your friends today? Are you playing well? Are you keeping your hands to yourself? Hopefully none of you have had your parents had to do that with you. Hopefully those are things that you just do on your own because your parents taught you well and they reproduce themselves in you. Fact is, obedience is a heart issue more than a compliance issue, and it's an issue of blessing. See, all over God's word, it talks about obedience. In Proverbs 16:20, it says, God blesses those who obey him. Psalm 7:10 says, he saves those who obey him. Psalm 33 says, the Lord watches over those who obey him. Psalm 37 says, the Lord takes care of those who obey him. In Luke 11, Jesus calls those who obey him and the word of God blessed. Joshua 1:8. God tells Joshua to obey everything written in the book of the law if he wants to be blessed. Isaiah 1:19 says, if you're willing and obedient, you shall eat the good of the land. Then Romans 5:19 tells us that by the obedience of Jesus, we are drawn close to God and united with him and made righteous. See, on my best day as a parent, my absolute best day as a parent, I command obedience from my kids because I want them to be blessed by God. I demand that you need to be obedient and listen because I want you to have a long life and live well. I want things to go well for you in your life. And as you grow up, eventually one day, I want you to obey God well. And so I hope as I'm pointing you towards Jesus, you will learn how to obey Jesus well. And in the moments when I say, listen, you need to obey me the first time I ask, not the second or third time, I hope that carries over to your relationship with God. And as you grow up, you'll learn to obey God the first time. And he doesn't have to tell you three times either. That's my best day as a parent. All two of those this year have been awesome. The reality is, there are days where I feel that way as a parent. And there are other days where I'm like, will you just listen to me? See, what I've noticed about obedience in our families is that some parents, especially in the church, they can demand obedience of their kids because they want their kids to be blessed and grow closer to God. And there's other times in my life where I demand obedience of my kids because I think I am God. You will obey me. How dare you disrespect me like that? You don't talk to me like that. Right? Most of those moments, it's because there's something going on here that I'm like, hey, listen, you will listen to me because of who I am. But when I'm truly submitted to God, obedience is about, I want you to listen because I want things to go well for you. I don't want you to get hurt. I need you to listen to me because it's what will be best for you in your life in the long term. It's interesting. Part of this, if we go back to verse 4, it says, fathers, do not exasperate your children. Instead, bring them up in the training and the instruction of the Lord. Don't exasperate your children. Don't anger your children. Don't carry yourself in a way that just makes them bitter towards you. We're supposed to command obedience in our families, but yet don't make your kids bitter towards you. Some of that comes down to the fact that I think explaining things is so incredibly important. Explain these verses. God, son, I want you to obey because I want things to go well for you in your life. I don't know if you ever had that deep philosophical argument with your kids where you really got into the reason for their needing to obey you, and you pulled out that really, really deep, really philosophical argument. It goes like this. Because I said so! Right, you ever pull that out? And there's a time for that. There's a time for that in our kids' lives. There's a time for that in my walk with Jesus. There's times where God's not going to explain things to me. It's like, do it because I said so. Throw your net on the other side because I said so. Walk into the fire because I said so. But what I have found is when I'm really walking with Jesus well and trying to pastor my kids, not just be God in their life, but actually point them to God, there's a lot more of a desire to explain to my kids why obedience matters, why they should do things. It's easy when they're younger. Son, I want you to stop when I tell you to stop because if you're running towards something dangerous, I don't want you to get hurt. So I will do whatever it takes. We had that season with my son where it's like, son, I don't know what I have to do to you, but I will do whatever I have to do because you keep running into the street. Whatever I have to do. Maybe I need to put some shackles on your feet so you can't run as fast. I don't know what I have to do, but I don't want you to get hurt. I love you too much to let that happen to you. You have to stop when Daddy says stop. And as our kids get older, there's things that we have to explain. Not just do this because it's what we do. We go to church because it's what we do. Get your butt up and get out there. Get in the car. As we get older, there's a need for explanation. We go to church, son, daughter, because Jesus has changed my life, and I believe he'll change your life as well. And he promises life and life to the full, and we want to gather with other people who also believe that and soak up God's word and apply it to our life and ultimately worship God together, this God who deserves all of our glory and our honor and praise because he's done so much in our life. So we read the word because we believe the word will change our life. We obey the word because we believe God's commands are better than the world's commands. Do we explain things well to our kids when it comes to them obeying us and obeying God's word? I remember when I was growing up, I grew up in kind of a Southern Baptist background. And that background is not the biggest fan of alcohol. Specifically drunkenness, but really any alcohol. And as I was growing up, I've shared this story before, but as I was growing up, I heard a lot of arguments for why alcohol is bad. And they never really got to the core reason why. They just gave me a lot of, frankly, dumb arguments. Like, you're not even going to like it. It tastes terrible. I did it once and I got sick. You're going to, you know, like the horror stories. You're going to have one drink, and then before you know it, you're going to end up just drunk and pregnant and dead. Like, it was just like they would just take this one story and make it the norm for everything. Or they'd say, you know, man, people who are drunk, they're not having fun. They're not enjoying it. Alcohol isn't fun. Drunkenness isn't fun. And then I got older, and I realized, I remember the first time I got drunk, I woke up the next morning, I felt like Eve in the garden. I didn't surely die. This fruit tastes great. Like, that was awesome. Let's do that again. Because the reality was everything was focusing on these minor issues. The fact is, sin is fun. Drunkenness is fun. There's a lot of things that are fun. The deeper issue that was never really, really, really explained to me by a pastor was that thing, especially when it comes to the overindulgence of it, It may be fun for a second, but it will never fill that hole in your life that you're trying to fill. It will never fill you up in the way God wants to fill you up. And when you focus only on that, you're taking away the spotlight from God, who wants to step in and have everything and truly fulfill you. And that's for anything in life that is against God's word. It will be fun for a second, but the reality is, when we serve that over God, we are taking away from God wanting to fulfill us completely and totally in our life, to fill up that hole that only He can fill, to really give us through His Spirit that life and life to the full, to change everything in our life. As we pastor our kids, we pastor our families and lead them well, I hope that we explain why things matter, not just because I said so, or even just because the Bible said so, but explain, this is why this way is better. This is why, as for me and my house, we serve the Lord. This is why we don't choose the gods that our ancestors served beyond the Euphrates. This is why we don't serve the other gods that the world around us tells us to worship. This is why, because God has done this in our life. And that comes back to the next thing that's so important about obedience, is that obedience is taught. You notice in the verse 4, Ephesians 6, it says, "Fathers, don't exasperate your children. Instead, bring them up in the training and instruction of the Lord." Bring them up. There's an action that's associated with that word. It's not a passive thing. Bringing them up, it's a physical thing of positioning them to know God. It involves instruction and training. It implies effort. It implies time. Deuteronomy 6, Moses writes this. He says, "These are the commands, decrees, and laws of the Lord your God directed me to teach you to observe in the land that you're crossing the Jordan to possess, so that you, your children, and their children after them may fear the Lord your God as long as you live, by keeping all his decrees and commands that I give you, and so that you may enjoy long life here. Hear, Israel, and be careful to obey, so that it may go well with you, and that you may increase greatly in a land flowing with milk and honey, just as the Lord, the God of your ancestors, promised you." Sounds similar to some other verses we've read today, doesn't it? Then he says, "Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your strength. These commandments that I give you today are to be on your hearts." And then there's the next part I love. "Impress them on your children. Talk about them when you sit at home, when you walk along the road, and when you lie down, and when you get up." I love that phrase because it applies almost all the time. When you're walking along the road, impress these commands onto your children. When you're lying down, impress these things onto your children. That means that this isn't just a one-time thing, that we go to church and someone else will tell you about Jesus and we go on for the rest of our life. It means that if I'm really following Jesus, this stuff's going to come up all the time. It's going to come up while we're walking along the road and taking a walk as a family. It's going to come up while we're driving in the car. It's going to come up as we get up and do things. It's going to come up as we lay down and go to bed. These moments of talking about what really matters, what God wants for your life, it's going to come up, and it's something that is taught throughout life. See, the reality is, some of the best things that were ever taught to me were not preceded by the words, "Hey, listen up, this is going to change your life." It was generally preceded by some mundane conversation as we sat around a table or drove in a car, and then suddenly we start talking about things that really, really matter in life. Question is, what are we teaching in our families and our kids, to people around us? Are we taking the intentional time and effort to actually share what's really, really important? Or are we just hoping someone else is going to teach them the important things in life? Are we making that intentional time? But as I said, we'll never drift towards holiness, towards being a fully devoted follower of Jesus. It's going to take effort and time to do that. And finally, obedience is about blessings. Obedience is something that's taught, but ultimately, obedience and really all culture, all values, they are caught more than they are taught. Obedience is caught, meaning that it comes from people watching other people. I don't know if you've ever had a workplace you've been in that had core values, but they didn't actually like get applied in your everyday life or everyday work life. Like they were up on the wall. This is what we value, but you actually look at how you work and it's like that, no, that's, or this one, they'll go, you know, man, this place, we're like a family here. There's some of those places you're like, did you have a family? Because I don't think this is how a family's supposed to work. I don't know. Maybe your family was different than mine, but it just doesn't seem quite right. Because the reality is we can say we value something, say that something is a core value in our families or in our life or in our workplaces, but it's also, there's real values that actually come out in how we work and how we interact, right? In the same way, in our families, we can teach values all the time, but really, what's going to come out in our families is what is actually seen by our kids, seen by our other family members. Values aren't just taught, they're caught. That's why in 1 Corinthians 11:1, Paul writes, follow my example as I follow the example of Christ. Fact is, we can say we value following Jesus, but the most impactful way that your kids are going to come to Jesus is by following your footsteps. By following your footsteps to church, to God's word, to obedience in your life. As your kids start to see that, then that starts to rub off on them. Fact is, one of the reasons I value God, even when I didn't really believe in God, the reason I came back to God is because I see my parents run to him over and over and over again and saw them value God above everything else in their life over and over and over again. Not perfectly, by the way, but they sincerely followed the perfect God. Even though they weren't perfect themselves, they weren't perfect parents. But then when it came time in my life when things got hard, I knew, oh, that's where I run to, isn't it? And suddenly everything changed in my life. Unfortunately, one of the things we see, especially in my generation, something I've seen over and over again, is kids who grew up in church, but they don't go to church anymore. They don't follow Jesus anymore. Mostly because I think, as I've talked to them, as I talk to friends who just don't do that anymore, one of the big things is they got dragged to church by parents who said this was important, but they didn't actually see it change their parents' lives. Like, they kept going to church because, yep, you know, mom and dad said we have to. But then they actually look at their parents' lives and they don't see it have any real value in their life. Fact is, our walk with Jesus, our obedience, it's something that's caught. It's something we model to our kids. Then I question myself, do I model that to my kids? First of all, do they see me obeying God above everything? Do they see me valuing God's word and listening and obeying? How about the way that God's word says that I'm supposed to love other people and serve them well, and I as a husband, my job is to lay my life down like Jesus laid down his life for the church so that my wife and my family can know Jesus better. Am I doing that? Am I obedient in that? Am I obedient in how I love people? And how I serve people, and how I handle my money, and how I give, my good steward. Am I modeling that to my kids? Here's one that I really don't like. 2 Peter chapter 2. Bible says, submit yourselves for the Lord's sake to every human authority, whether to the emperor as a supreme authority or to governors who are sent by him to punish those who do wrong and to commend those who do right. For it's God's will that by doing good, you should silence the ignorant talk of foolish people. Live as free people, but do not use your freedom as a cover-up for evil. Live as God's slaves. Show proper respect to everyone. Love the family of believers. Fear God and honor the emperor. That's one of those I've been really kind of, been looking for a different translation. I go through all the translations. I'm still trying to find a translation that says, submit yourselves for the Lord's sake to every human authority that you agree with and like. I haven't found it yet. So until then, every other translation says every human authority. It even mentions the emperor of Rome, who was not exactly a great guy or a very great follower of Jesus. So the reason I say that is this. That's one of those areas that I look at just that convicts me. How do I, like if I want my kids to obey well, how do I handle authority? Especially authority I don't agree with. Do I talk well about people or do my kids only hear me say sarcastic and mean things about these leaders that I don't agree with? Or do my kids see us go, listen, we don't agree with that leader. And that's why we as a family are going to gather and we're going to pray for them that God changes their heart. And yeah, we're going to stand on truth, and it doesn't matter what they say. Our house is not dictated by the White House. We are still going to follow Jesus, and as for us and our household, we will serve the Lord. But are we honoring them well? Especially in this season. I mean, listen, we all have social media. It's so easy just to post stuff. It's just so mean and hateful. We never say it to their face. If that was our friend, we would never say it to them. We say some of the most vile stuff. And then, well, you know what always cracks me up? We got this thing where, like, well, you see something on Facebook, somebody will post something, right? And it's just like the most mean, vile thing about someone. And then the next one is a Bible verse right after that. You're like, what's going on here? Fact is, how we obey and love people says a lot to our kids. And that's something they pick up on. That's something we model to them. So, in every area of our life, obedience matters. It matters for our families because we want our kids to ultimately have the blessings of God in their life. We teach them. Obedience is something that is taught, but it's also something that is caught. But ultimately, it comes down to the verse that we began with today in Joshua 24. But if serving the Lord seems undesirable to you, then choose for yourselves this day whom you will serve, whether the gods of your ancestors who they served beyond the Euphrates, or the gods of the Amorites in whose land you are living now. But as for me and my household, we will serve the Lord. The fact is, having a household that follows God is a choice. It's a moment of saying, God, I want to give you everything, but ultimately I want to lead my family well towards you. And for so many of us who have kids who are still in our home or still in our care, we live in a world that is constantly trying to pull them away. And it is a battle. It is a choice. It is a moment to say, listen, I'm not going to sit on the sidelines of my family's life, but I will take a stand and say, listen, draw this line in the sand. As for us in our house, we will serve the Lord. That is the most important thing in our life. And along the way, and hopefully in this series, we'll begin to ask ourselves the questions, what do we really value? What's at the core of who we are? What's at the center of who we are? And my hope and my prayer is that as we do this, God will start to convict us of things in our life, and we'll start to see things in our life that we go, that isn't Jesus at the core there, is it? That's something else. We seem to value this more than we actually value following God. And so my hope and my prayer is that we'll come into this series with an open heart for God to convict us and to shape us and mold us, and we can lead our families well. And for those of us that don't have kids yet, maybe your kids are grown, that we can learn ways that maybe in ourselves we can be better models, we can be better followers of Jesus, and ultimately we can understand how to pray better for those that we want to see God change. Because the ultimate thing is that we don't change hearts, do we? Only God changes hearts. Only God creates real life change. And so I want to invite you to bow your heads with me today as we come before our Heavenly Father. And we just say, God, thank you for the promises of your word. That those who honor their parents will live a long life in the land, and things will go well for them. And God, I want that for me, but God, I want that for my kids. And I hope every parent here does as well. But they want their kids to be blessed by you, to know you. God, I pray for every family here in this place. God, I pray that you would strengthen them by your Holy Spirit. That they would be a lighthouse and a beacon to the world, that they would be able to take a stand and stand on your word and stand on your truth, and that in their neighborhoods, in their schools, and everywhere they go, that God, there would just be such a light about them, and people would say there's something different about that family. Ultimately, because they obey you. God, you are good, you are awesome, and you are amazing, and you're worthy of all the honor, the glory, and the praise today. Thank you, God, for how you're working in this place. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Well, church, every week.